Welcome to the second episode of the Mobile Storytelling Podcast with me, Wietse Vellinga, in Friesland in the Netherlands.
And me, Björn Staschen, in Hamburg, Germany. This podcast is about how to tell a story with your smartphone. And this time, we also have a guest, Sarah Tite from Lebanon in Beirut. Sarah's been training refugees in refugee camps in how to use their smartphone to tell their story. Sarah, great to have you.
And I was wondering straight away, how does that work in these times, in these corona times? How do you do your work?
As a lot of people, our training that we are doing now, usually we use online training webinars like Zoom and coaching via WhatsApp, messengers, any application, any communication between us and the trainees is applicable now online. So we use it for continue and sustain our training. My work now is concentrating with a group of people, around 25 trainees from Lebanon, and we have around 3-4 refugees, Palestinian refugees, Syrian refugees, and Lebanese as well. So they already had a training on mobile journalism concerning shooting, filming, and editing, but very basic. And we were like planning to have the advanced level, but the COVID-19 is already there. So we switched for online training, online coaching, and also like helping them every time they need any help to continue produce their stories. This is about technical issues or as my work as giving them lecture or tip or how they can like edit any video on their smartphone if they need any advice. But for the story that they are producing now, we are concentrating about their stories from their house in it. That's mean how they are living, how they are managing their life, how they can visualize their daily life in a story to be published later on their website that will be maybe next week or in 2 weeks online.
Before you met them for the first time, the people in the camps, were they journalists already, or did you kind of give them a voice with your training?
No, they are not journalists. Most of them, they are just people. They want something to learn and any new challenge in their life, like good way. I mean, here, like learning something new, feel like they have something to give in their life and to tell their own stories. Concerning my experience, especially with people that are they fled from war, if we cannot talk about Syria or Libya, because also this year I went to Tunisia and trained Libyan journalists. Those people they are in need for any new information, for learning anything new to them. They need knowledge. They need anything to let them feel more present in their life and to feel they can do something in this very bad situation that are living in, even in Libya or in Syria or any war zone or difficult circumstances like camps in Lebanon as well.
Where do they publish their stories, just to get an idea on how many people they reach with their stories?
Where did they publish their stories? When we train them, there is a small, it's not small blog, like a very how we can say it, a blog online website for them. They can publish their story, but it's not very well known because it's need like more money and more time, and you know, people usually they want money more than putting their time to do something for a long term. So we already published a blog, and now we are working on platform called Their Stories. But this platform is not just for refugees, it's about stories for youth people in Lebanon. So they are producing stories about their life. But now I told you before, like, the kind of story is switching, and you are trying to make more story about you during quarantine and lockdown in Lebanon.
And when you started out with this project, how did you actually get started?
This project is organized by DW Academy, Deutsche Welle Academy. It's a German academy, and they start with a camp. And I was one of their trainees before, and I was working for the TV as well. So I started as a trainer, and after having a lot of TOT, train of trainers as well with DW Academy. So I started training in the camp in 2017, a refugee camp called Shatila Camp in Lebanon, and we trained around 15 participants on mobile journalism for 3 months. So it was very intense and also effective. Like they learned how to film, how to edit, how to think about story, pitching stories, about social media, about storytelling. So like it's a full package to make sure that they are well equipped with any necessary ideas or any necessary skills to build their own way in journalism, because they weren't a journalist before that.
Give us an idea, an example maybe of one person that you're remembering, one story that you're remembering where you thought, well, that was particularly strong. So what do they actually tell? What are the stories that are coming out of this training?
I remember, I can share with you two stories. One about a report that they already showed by one of my participants, Muhammad, the name of my trainee. And he was like going around and pitching a story. The story is about Camilo, an Australian guy. Like he's living in camp, a refugee camp, to learn Arabic language. So it was a very interesting story, because this guy just came to Lebanon and decided to stay in a refugee camp to learn the Arabic language. So this story, it was very like it's well shooted, well filmed. The framing, if you're gonna talk about framing and cadre, everything was perfect. The interview is very, very helpful, and this story is it's online, and I shared in Mobile Journalism Festival in 2 years ago. And now the guy, like the producer who made the story, is now working with the production in Lebanon, and because of this training, that he's now a very good like in shooting and filming, and now he's producing a lot of story for production house in Lebanon for his own work. The second story that I would like to share with you is about a girl. She started with us in 2017, and she was around 15 years old, and she was the younger train beneficiary with us. And she took two training in 2017 and 2018, and this year as well. She's one of my participants also in the project that I'm conducting about their stories. This girl is really passionate about journalism, and she's still in school, so she didn't start university yet. But now she's doing a very great job while shooting and filming, and she produced a story about his sister in Lebanon, in Lebanon while locking down. And the sister is like more into TikTok application, and she's doing all the time videos for TikTok. So she tried to reflect the life in her sister's life about learning something new and having like new followers in TikTok and having this application. So I'm talking about this girl, like she called Daddy. And my big impression about her, like she's learning very fast, as she wants everything about journalism, mobile journalism, and she's very good learner, and this is why I keep her with me in every training, because I know she's gonna do something when she gonna start university.
So people really get going when you taught them, but how do they start out? I mean, They probably don't have all the equipment they need. They don't have microphones. They probably don't have the latest iPhones to work with. Talk us through the technical side.
They don't have a lot of equipment. What I start with the training, just bring their iPhone or their mobile, and with the headphone or the earphone.
Is it mostly Android or is it mostly iPhone what you train on? I guess it's Android, right?
Yes, it's most of them, they have Android, and they are very good
Android. Yeah, and it's not the flagship Androids, right? It's not the Samsung Galaxy S10 or something, but it's kind of older models, fringe models, and it's still working.
Yeah, it's still working. And also, after the training, a lot of my participants start asking, what kind of mobile can I buy now to have better reports while filming with the mobile? So after giving them the needed skills to be a video journalist or mobile journalist, they start thinking about the equipment. But for me as a trainer, when I start training, I didn't give them any advice about any equipment, because first of all, they have to learn the skills, the basic knowledge, and the basic tips. After that, when they feel like they are comfortable with the story and how to tell via mobile, they can start think about new equipment, new mobile, and new device. And for my training, I just start to train with mobile without anything else.
That means no apps as well. You just use the generic camera app of the phone, so no filming app. And how do you edit?
We added usually with KineMaster, because KineMaster is a free application. So they don't have to pay. You have free access for a lot of features. You can edit and add music, add text, and nice, you know, can make a nice video. And if they want to publish it without a watermark, they can pay for it. And if the organization have a budget for paying to them, they pay for the application or give them like small equipment, like a tripod or microphone.
And do you really feel that you, with your training, really help to give them a future, maybe in journalism?
Of course, yes. In my last training, like one of my participants said, like, I didn't know where is my passion, but after attending your class, I feel like I'm very passionate about journalism, and this is a it's very, very nice to hear that from a participant, that they feel like they are related to journalism, even they are not journalists. So, yeah, they can be, of course.
What is the perspective of your program? I mean, will there be 25 more and 25 more, and will there be hundreds in years from now? Or, I mean, is there still enough funding for what you do? What is the scope of your training?
The training now is for around like 1 year and a half. And we hope, because we are like putting a lot of pressure in our like trainees' capacities and to make a lot of stories. We believe that they're going to handle this website and this platform. And, you know, after handling this website and this platform, and when the donors see this platform is sustainable and they are giving a nice stories for the audience, and they have numbers and good stories in journalism, I guess there is a future to have more funds for this platform. So this is the aim now, and hopefully we can do this with our participant in mobile journalism.
كيفك انت ملا انت انا بعتقد اللغه العربيه حلوه كثير. أنا من قرية صغير بنمسا، يمكن 50 ناس ساكنين هنيك.
So Sarah, how's your personal situation? How is lockdown in Lebanon? How can you work in these days?
I'm gonna be honest with you, it's challenging. All right, are you using online training, e-learning, webinars, like calling and meeting? Everything is over the phone or over the laptop. But you know, personally, I'm extrovert a little bit, so I love to share and chat with people. And also for my training, I feel connection and much more connecting with my participants when we are face to face and you know, direct contact together. But there is no other solution. We have to keep our work on track. We have to sustain our work. We have to also, there is people need knowledge and they need to continue their training as well. So we cannot stop our life just because COVID-19 is here. So we continue our work as it is now.
Yeah, and Sarah, we would really like to thank you for sharing your views on mobile storytelling from a refugee perspective, because that's something we don't hear that often. And I think you do wonderful work with them. And I really look forward to watching more of what your trainees can do.
Thank you. Thank you a lot.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because we are discussing, you know, the high class, expensive technical questions quite often here. But we also feel that where it really matters, where mobile journalism really matters, is where people, for the first time, get to tell their stories. And that is where you are, right? It's kind of the front line of mobile journalism, which is kind of much more rewarding in a way and changing much more than a television journalist in Europe taking an iPhone instead of a camera crew. So the change you're administering is much larger. Yeah, so thank you very much for talking to us. Very interesting.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having this time.
And that was the second episode of the Mobile Storytelling Podcast with me, Björn Staschen, in Hamburg.
And me, Wietse van Lancker, in Friesland. And we'll see you next time for the third episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.